This is the Friday edition of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon on the Big 550 KTRS. This portion of the show brought to you by Window World, the original $189 window company, the number one replacement window company in the United States. You can find them here in St. Louis online at windowworldstlouis.com. I am Paul Harris. Dan Strauss and Ian Geiser here with me. And Colin Jeffrey joins us now for the showbiz portion of the show. Hi, Colin. How are you?
Doing well. How are you today, Paul?
I'm doing fine. We're going to get to three movies that are opening this weekend, and you've got the one that is probably going to have the biggest box office. But before we get to that, how did last weekend's box office do? Any surprises one way or the other?
Yes, Boo, the Madea movie, finished in first place for a second week, beating out Ron Howard and Tom Hanks with Inferno.
They are, Ron Howard's now 0 for 2.
0 for 4 or 5.
Really? I was just thinking about that Moby Dick movie that he made.
Yes, and he also made Rush that went nowhere at the
box
office.
That was a car racing movie?
Yeah, and now I can't remember the fourth. I feel bad, but he's made like four domestic flops in a row. But the good news for this, I did not care for Inferno much. The good news, there's a fourth book in the Robert Langdon series called The Lost Symbol, and that will definitely not get made, because although Inferno's made $15 million in its first weekend here, it's made about $150 million overseas, because there's a very big Indian actor in this. If you saw Jurassic World, he's the operator of the park. He's an enormous star in India, and this movie takes place almost entirely in Europe, so it did very well over there.
Mm-hmm.
Lost Symbol takes place almost entirely in the U.S., and the people in the U.S. said, we're done with this.
Mm-hmm.
So, thank goodness, we're done with Robert Langdon movies,
Symbol,
it appears.
I see what you did there.
Yes, so that's the good news.
All right.
The bad news is Madea did well, and so now I have to watch this when it comes out on DVD.
Why do you have to watch it?
Because I've seen all of them up until now.
Why have you seen all of them?
Because I can't say, you know, you tell your kids, you can't say you don't like it if you didn't try it, so I've tried
it. You tried them!
Yeah, but I have to keep doing it. Maybe he found the magic in the fifth one. He hasn't. Yet, but you know, maybe this is the one.
You know, when I was 7 years old, my mother forced me to have a Brussels sprout.
Oh.
I hated it.
Yes.
I didn't keep eating them to see if each other Brussels sprout was as disgusting as the first one.
Yeah, but maybe it's a different type of Brussels sprout.
No.
Maybe it's a marshmallow Brussels sprout, and all of a sudden it's great.
No.
No, this, the fourth one is crunchy. Man, that's great.
Finally, I got a good Brussels sprout. I'm sorry, Tyler Perry's Brussels sprout.
That molten cheese inside it.
Who knew?
You never know.
Boo, a Madea sprout. No thanks. Let's talk about the movie that is going to be giant at the weekend box office, and that is Doctor Strange with Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yeah, this is another Marvel movie. This is in the third phase of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and unlike include Guardians of the Galaxy, but unlike the Avengers, Iron Man, Captain America, Doctor Strange deals with not just supernatural, but magic. He's a sorcerer in this. Doctor Strange is actually Dr. Stephen Strange, a world-renowned neurosurgeon. And he's a jerk. No one likes him. He's a jerk, and that's fine. That's how Tony Stark started out.
Mm-hmm.
But the difference is Tony Stark, we realize, wanted to sort of be good. And in the first Iron Man movie, is determined to become a good guy. Say, I'm tired of my weapons being sold to bad guys. I'm going to become good. Doctor Strange, Stephen Strange, is irredeemable. He's just he's an unlikable person. But he's in a car accident driving one night and loses the ability to use his hands. And he seeks out any sort of treatment for this and ends up in Nepal, where he is encouraged to find what appears, he views it as sort of a religious sort of yogi, someone who can help him through the powers of his mind. Well, it turns out this is actually a character called the Ancient One, played by Tilda Swinton, who is so good in this, and it's just so good. I think she's great. She's mm-hmm. one of my favorite actresses. And he comes to realize she's actually magic and is a sorcerer, or sorceress.
Mm-hmm.
And so he learns how to become a sorcerer. Well, of course, there's a bad sorcerer. And you know, is this sorceress determined? I'm going to allow this character, Dormammu, who lives in the dark dimension, to take over Earth. And you're looking at me like this, and people in their cars are kind of looking at their radio sideways right now. That's intentional. This is very different from all of the Marvel movies. It deals with magic unapologetically. It says, there's magic now. And you're supposed to be a little confused because we've never dealt with this. But because this is the 15th or 16th Marvel movie, they can now get away with this because we've sort of bought into this world of superheroes and aliens, but this takes it a step further.
Excuse me, Dan has a question.
Yes. Is it based on a true story?
Yes, Dan, based on a true story.
every How did you week, know, Paul?
Every week. But it's just, it works because you've gone down this rabbit hole, and now they're asking you to go a step further.
That's Alice in Wonderland.
It is.
Gone down a rabbit hole.
It sounds to me like it's a movie that's filled with tons and tons of special effects.
Unbelievable. Like, you've never seen this many. Go see it in IMAX. Go see it in 3D. It's very, imagine if like Escher and Dolly had a love child, and those are sort of the images you get. It's crazy.
Does that overwhelm the live action?
There's one fight scene where it gets to be too much and you're kind of losing track of who's where, but that's intentional because it's not like these guys can manipulate small parts of the world and do, they can make cities replicate and mirror themselves and move things at will. It's heady and crazy, but very much worth seeing because it's a spectacle. It's fun. It's neat. It has a clever ending. And if you're a big fan of the Marvel movies, this is an enormous sort of push forward towards Spider-Man, the next Thor movie, and even the next Avengers movie.
Do any of those other Marvel characters appear in this?
Can't tell you. I can't tell you that. It's just...
All right.
That would be a yes, then.
No, that would be, I can't tell you.
Any idea how hard it is for me to ask the correct question about a Marvel movie that I'm never going to see?
I know.
I just pulled that one out of my butt. And I know. And it's the question you can't answer.
And you can't answer it.
It is a bit more inaccessible than some of the, because it's dealing, you can wrap your head around villains, like just, oh, he's a big guy and he wants to crush stuff. This is not that. This plays around with all sorts of different
things. What do you give it on a scale?
I give it a 7 out of 10. It's fun. It's a lot of fun, I think.
All right.
And I really like that they made a jerk as the good guy.
All right, that's Doctor Strange.
Doctor Strange. 70 million plus this weekend.
Wow, okay. Another movie that's going to open this weekend is called Hacksaw Ridge. Now, before I talk about the movie, we've got to talk about the problem with the man who directed it, Mel Gibson. And I guess we have to file this one away kind of under the same category as Bill Cosby. Because after all the allegations about Bill Cosby, and at last count, I think that it was something like 60 women had accused him
right.
of sexual assault. He's become a pariah in American culture. His TV shows are not airing anywhere. In fact, Hulu is the last place you can watch The Cosby Show, and they're taking it off this month. I guess the contract is coming to an end. And his concerts, you know, he's not performing live anymore.
Well, according to his attorney, he's blind. He can't see. He's
blind and can barely walk, yeah.
Yeah.
Too bad. I don't think that Mel Gibson fits quite into the same category, but you got to remember that 10 years ago, he was found drunk in the back of a police car, calling the female police officer sugar breasts. He didn't say breasts, said the T word, and ranting about how the Jews run Hollywood and are destroying the world and all sorts of other anti-Semitic stuff. And we also know that he pleaded guilty to some domestic violence charges, including hitting his girlfriend.
Oksana Grigorieva.
Right.
Wow.
That's a Trivial Pursuit answer for you.
Now, on the show last week, I was ranting about Josh Brown, the New York Giants kicker, former Rams kicker, who has essentially been removed from the league after admitting to hitting his wife. I don't know where the difference is between that and what Mel Gibson admitted to. And so you have to make a personal decision about whether you're going to see this guy's movie. Now, we ran through the same thing a few weeks ago with a guy by the name of Nate Parker, who directed one hell of a movie called The Birth of a Nation, which I reviewed on this show and I liked very much, and probably would have been up for some Academy Award nominations except that Nate Parker had a sexual assault charge against him years ago. The difference between him and Cosby and Mel Gibson and others, like Josh Brown, is Nate Parker went to trial and was acquitted of the charge. And yet that still hangs over his head. And the fact that it came back around in the news cycle did damage to the box office potential and may have even killed the box office potential of The Birth of a Nation. Do you think that's fair to say?
It didn't help it. I'd say that's more than fair to say, yeah.
Okay. So then what do you do with a movie that is directed by Mel Gibson? You got to make up your own mind. But I'm here to tell you, regardless of what you may think of Mel Gibson personally, this guy has directed one hell of a movie. One hell of a war movie. One of the best war movies I've seen in a very long time.
Someone I heard today compared it to Saving Private Ryan.
Well, I will tell you, the war action, the battle scenes in this movie are perhaps more harrowing than the first 25 minutes of Saving Private Ryan.
Really?
Yes. More intense.
Wow.
It's amazing because this is a movie about a conscientious objector. A real guy. His name is Desmond Doss, who during World War II saw all of his buddies either being drafted into or volunteering for service in the military. And he felt he had to do something as well. But he was a very religious guy, a Seventh-day Adventist. And in that religion, he was taught, you don't even touch a gun, let alone fire one. But he still joined up, and he went to basic training. And in the movie, his basic training drill sergeant is played by Vince Vaughn. Now, when you hear that, you may think, oh, here comes another over-the-top Vince Vaughn characterization. No, Vince Vaughn's actually very good at this role. He's doing a little bit of R. Lee Ermey, the guy who was the drill sergeant in Full Metal Jacket. He has a little bit of that because I think that's what got into his mind this character should be, but not too much, and it's still a very, very good performance. But in real life, Desmond Doss went into basic training, and when they found out that he wouldn't fire a gun, well, you can't leave basic training in the military until you're proficient at firing a weapon. And here's a guy who wouldn't even touch a weapon. So what do you do? Well, in the military during World War II, you court-martial that guy. And it went to court-martial. And there was somebody who came in at the last minute and said, wait a second, you can't kick this guy out of the military because he has claimed to be a conscientious objector, although he called himself a conscientious cooperator because he still wanted to go to war. He didn't want to carry a gun, but he wanted to go to war, and the way he wanted to do that was as a battle medic. They didn't want that, but they had to allow him because of the CO status he had claimed. And so he did go with his buddies off to war in the Pacific. He didn't go to Europe to fight the Nazis. He went to the Pacific to fight the Japanese. And Hacksaw Ridge was on the island of Okinawa and was the scene of a horrible battle between American troops and Japanese troops, which ended up with a tremendous number of Americans dying. But they had to, because of the battle plan, they had to take over this ridge. And platoon after platoon had gone through there and gotten massacred by the Japanese. And now his platoon was going there. And he's going to be in the middle of this with no weapon. And won't pick up the weapon of a fallen colleague because he's not going to touch a gun. But he was, perhaps, the most heroic of all of them. And that's what this movie is about. And that's what the battle scenes are all about. Here's a guy with no weapon, just a bag of medical supplies, including morphine that he could administer to the troops who had fallen, and he saved their lives. Even after the sound of retreat had been blown, and everybody else who could get off that ridge got off that ridge, he stayed and attended to some of the wounded, even while the Japanese were still attacking. There are bullets flying around this guy, and he is still treating the wounded and getting them down from the top of this ridge down the side of a cliff to where the rest of the troops had retreated to and got to those guys, 75 of them, to medical treatment. For this, he was awarded the Medal of Honor, the first conscientious objector to become a Medal of Honor recipient. Everything I've told you really happened. It's a true story of a guy. And what amazes me is we've never heard this story before. Had you ever heard of Desmond Doss?
No.
No. Mm. But here's his story being told on screen. Andrew Garfield plays him. Vince Vaughn is the sergeant. Most of the other actors you're not going to recognize, but that doesn't matter. This is one hell of a movie. Even with Mel Gibson as the director, I'm giving it an 8.5 out of 10. It may end up on a lot of critics' top 10 lists for the year. However,
and there's always however in life,
those battle scenes are horrific. If you can't handle them, if the first 25 minutes of Saving Private Ryan turned your stomach so much you couldn't watch the rest of the movie, don't go see Hacksaw Ridge. And certainly don't take kids or anybody who would be of any kind of tender mentality or would be traumatized by seeing this stuff on screen. Don't take them because it's hard to watch. But it's remarkable. And Mel Gibson did a great job. And that's why I got to recommend the movie.
How long is the movie?
It's a little over 2 hours, but it doesn't feel like it. There's no part of this movie where you go, all right, come on. No. You see him through the early years, growing up with an alcoholic and abusive father, and then falling in love, mm-hmm. and all that's in there because you got to establish who this guy is. And then when he gets into training camp, that's part of it, and then the last third of it is on that ridge.
And Saving Private Ryan, was that close to 3 hours?
May have been. Certainly 2.5.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, so that's the second of the three movies opening this weekend. And now we have one left, and I've only got about 2 minutes for you to talk about Trolls.
Well, that's because it doesn't take long, because it's one of my least favorite movies of the year. Trolls tells the story of a group of colorful trolls that are held captive initially by an evil race of sort of ogres called the Bergens. And the Bergens can only be happy when they eat trolls. Well, the trolls don't like to be eaten, so they stage a breakout, and they manage to escape. 20 years later, the cook of the Bergens, who was expelled after all the trolls escaped, goes to search for the trolls and bring them back to the Bergens so they can eat them and be happy again. Dan?
Is that Emerald Bergen?
Oh, jeez.
Candace.
Candace Bergen that was cooking?
No.
Is that a true story?
No, it's not a true story either.
What do you give it on a scale of 10?
2. Okay. What's a shame about this is this has Anna Kendrick, Justin Timberlake, Zooey Deschanel, Russell Brand, Gwen Stefani, John Cleese, James Corden. It has that Justin Timberlake song you heard all summer, Can't Stop the Feeling, along with a bunch of other songs. The only thing this has going for it, two things. It's not based on Earth. They created a fake world, which is kind of cool. The animation looks great. The story is garbage. And I took my daughter with me. I was in there with a bunch of other kids. They didn't laugh. When you can't get 4, 5, 6, and 7-year-olds to laugh at an animated movie,
that's not good.
You know you've missed it.
Okay.
2 out of 10 for Trolls. Please don't go watch it.
All right,
it's going to make $40 million, though.
There you go. That's our showbiz stuff for this week here on the Big 550 KTRS. Dan mentioned Emeril. Coming up next is a guy by the name of Shep Gordon, who made Emeril and other chefs a star, and also Alice Cooper and Groucho Marx. Wait until you hear this guy's story when he joins us next here on the Big 550.